Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we're going to talk about games and play, and what we'd like to learn is how to make our life fun, like when we were children. On our previous talk, we said that when a child plays, he develops. We, the grown-ups, we stop playing and we stop developing. We live our life, but we don't develop. There's no fun. And this is something that we'd like to learn how to do. And today we'd like to take a look at a very special aspect of play. Nitza, please. Yeah, we want to talk about the rules of the game. We know that in order to have a game, there have to be rules. Usually in a game, there is a certain way in which you keep score. There are certain rules that all the players know that they have to respect. There are even such games that are well known all over the world. And no one tries to change these rules. It's obvious that you have to respect them, accept them as they are, and within the framework of these rules, we play and really enjoy ourselves. What do you mean when you say games or play? Because if I look at life, each one of us is acting out a certain role. We act out being a father, a mother, a child, at our workplace, being a manager or an employee. We're acting all the time. We're playing different roles all the time. Yeah. We're playing family, we're playing different things. All of life is a game, a theater, yeah, where each one of us has to keep himself in a certain inner state and to correctly act it out. And when we play these different roles or images, there are these windows in time, more for kids, less for grown-ups, where we play and we open up a new world for ourselves. Suppose I come to you to play chess. Even without the chess, we're playing. Yeah, I act out my role, you act out your role, and then we can do many things together. We can drink coffee, drink beer. And we can also play something, meaning that there's a new field in which we perform certain actions, mutual actions. Yeah, we come out into some mutual world that's built by specific laws. In our world, we know that these are the rules. Am I playing necessarily with you, or am I playing against the machine, maybe? There are plenty of options, but we're talking about the world of play. In order for us to enjoy ourselves, we play because we have fun. Right. That's the difference between life, where we suffer and we fight to survive, and then we find these little windows of time where we play. Right. So, in order to enjoy the game, we can't do whatever we feel like. There are rules. The rules are like definitions which allow us to enjoy. So what do you want? Suppose I see plenty of games that unfortunately break and don't pan out. Suppose a young man and woman, they're in love and they're playing beautifully together. Theater, cinema, traveling, games, you know, everything. They get married, game over. Interesting question. Why? It doesn't directly have to do with our topic, but why? As long as it's a game, it's fun. When it becomes real, sure. Because the element of the game disappears. The element of play disappears. Now they're obligated. Then they weren't obligated. So that's the secret, the matter of the obligation. Of course, no one necessitated me earlier. I was drawn to it myself, and therefore I enjoyed it. Now I can do the same with her, suppose, but it's already an obligation. There's already something above us, some law. We signed something, something happened. This is how society sees us. The game's gone and the pleasure with it. And this is what we'd like to scrutinize, because it's exactly about that. When we play a game, we enjoy ourselves when we keep the rules, because if we break the rules, we break the game. Meaning, we'll break the condition for the pleasure. Right. And in life, it's the very opposite, like you've just described. We want to break the rules all the time. Subconsciously, we want to turn it into a game. We want to return to the game, and we can't. That's how it is. This I don't understand. We can't stand life if it lacks the element of play. Why? Because it's hard. It's not good. It's a problem. I can't add any color to my life. And then my life is death. I have to do this and do that. What do you do with soldiers? You give them strong motivation with singing, with the greatness of their goal. For your country, you're great, you're this, you're that. Medals. What's the entire matter of medals? What is that all about? Without that, it wouldn't be a game. Without that, only life or death would necessitate me, like in time of war. Where then, suppose I don't care about all the medals and so on. And therefore, when I get married, if I lose the matter of the game, the play, God help us, you can see it on their faces. What disappears? The game. What do you mean? They used to play with each other. They used to flirt with each other. Maybe, maybe not. It's not signed or anything. It can be one way or another. Meaning, the law, the connection, is what takes out all the pleasure, if this is how we relate to it. But if we look at life in terms of being a game, only that we're entering a higher game, a higher goal, so that in our connection we have to achieve some great big thing, suppose the meaning of life, then it's something different. Then it's worthwhile playing the new role. So now I start understanding that maybe in the ordinary game that we play, we understand why the laws of the game are important and why is it important to keep them, and that's why we enjoy ourselves. Even if we lie to each other, there are such games, but it's all a part of the game, of the action. And in life, maybe we don't understand the laws and what is their purpose. We dry our life of any games. What do you mean? Because our life, it has to be a game, a transition to some higher state, more exalted, eternal state that we attain within life. Like at the end of a game, you achieve some big prize. You have to see that prize and not the grave and death that's awaiting you. Or growing old in a parent's home. So the problem is that I don't see the reward at the end of the game. Yeah? And so life isn't a game then, but it's a burden because you have no choice. And I'm like a slave that has to carry it from day to day, and I curse life. So how can I turn my life into a game? First of all, you have to see the goal, what the reward is. So tell me, what is the medal that you want? The medal for which you're willing to accept your entire life as something good. What is that prize that will light up your entire life, light up each and every step that you take in life? that you're advancing through life and you're enjoying yourself and more, and you have these big eyes. That's how you look at life. Someone who plays in the stock markets, the reward is obvious, right? And because they have no other choice, in order to add some action, play to life, people are willing to pay a lot of money and do many things. I know people that say that were they some small employee or something, for them it's death. They have to initiate and do things. Don't you see people that today steal and the next day they lose all their money? Of course, the action that you have in stealing and the action in losing it all, that's life. So there are people who succeeded in making it so that their life won't be dry. You say that life dries out when the game disappears, when play disappears from life, right? When we have no goal ahead of us, no prize, no nothing, only our grave. And then life dissipates. I think most of the people feel that life is kind of dry. So you said, great, start with choosing the prize, the medal that you want. You start from the end. So, if you're a serious person, after all the prizes that you examine, you see that one way or another, everything ends with death. A prize can be only if I achieve an eternal life. What is eternal life? I don't know. Different religions envision that after death, there is one or another kind of heaven waiting for them. This is what you mean? Every religion introduces you with, yeah, I know, unfortunately we see in our neighboring countries people are willing to commit suicide and kill others in order to rise to a world which is utterly good. So all these fantasies about eternity and stuff, I don't know. I want to be real practical and realistic. That life's dry, I agree. How do we advance? Ah, there's such a game where with every step that you take in that game, you discover a new world. You shall see your world in your lifetime. That's how that game's called. What do these words mean? You shall see your world in your lifetime. That next world that you say that the religious dream about, that they'll have after they die. So you don't have to die for it. You are going to now achieve your next world. And that's called, you shall see your world in your lifetime. You'll discover it here and now. The what? The next world. And then, if you discover that world that they think that they discover after death, then you no longer die. In this world, you achieve an eternal life. See what a game? What does it mean that I'll reveal the next world? You can imagine whatever you want. Until you see it, you don't know what it is, but it's possible. If I compare it to the world of games, there are also levels of difficulty in games. You finish the first degree, and if you succeed, you move on to the next degree, and so on. So now you mean, if I compare it with life itself, like you're saying, the real life, the real game of life, then what is the next degree? Suppose now I'm on whatever degree I'm on. What does it mean to discover the next world? What will I discover there? You'll discover a limitless life, neither in the reception of pleasure, nor in the time of the reception of the pleasure, neither in knowledge, thoughts, desires. You're unlimited, but you're developing more and more all the time, and you have different fulfillments. Like when you were a girl and you wanted so much to attain, achieve, perceive, understand, and more, I don't know how to describe it, but I simply think that as a girl, you looked at the world with wide open eyes. Today, you barely open them. Yeah, it's true, but today I do see, for example, what you're trying to describe. I do see that in the world of gaming, suppose, or virtual games, there is an attempt to describe what you're describing, meaning there's a new realm that you enter, an unknown realm in which you discover new rules, new states, where suddenly when you finish the game and you go back, you feel that this world here becomes small, that there was an infinite space, limitless. And I'm trying to run a comparison all the time between games and play and the real life. What is it that I discover about the real life? You discover in your lifetime that by play you can reach the new, true life, that by that game which you take upon yourself now, it is what drives you to that new world. What are the rules of the game in my world so that I can discover the next world? The rules of the game is changing nature. You know, when you get the box with the game, there's always the instructions that you read to everyone. Of course, a game is a game on condition that we keep its rules, its conditions. Otherwise, we can't enter that program that, how to put it, that development that the game offers us. We have to go into it, yield, let's call it, to its conditions, and then it promises us that we will go through some kind of an adventure and we'll reach a certain goal. So we're ready for it. So if I got a game and it's called You Shall See Your World in Your Lifetime, so now I have the instructions in my hands and I read it out to all those playing. What are the rules of this game in order for us to discover the next world? The rules of the game are that in order to now, in your lifetime, to get the next world, we have to change ourselves by the nature of the next world, and then we'll see it, and feel it, and live it while we live here, this life, and this world. So suppose now we want to play this game. Please, the instructions are simple. I'll talk on your behalf. What I need for my body to exist, with everything that it needs for its existence, to eat and clothe it, and in short, basic necessities in order to keep my body. This I have to give it. No compromise about that, because that's nature. This is what it demands of me. Otherwise, I can't keep playing. Right. Now, besides that, I have to change my attitude towards all the rest of reality. Besides the basic needs, the necessities, meaning what's necessary for my animalistic, meaning bodily existence, isn't praised or condemned, as it says. What do I have beyond that? Above that, I have my attitude towards the environment, which I want to exploit as much as I can, as much as I can, to draw, exploit, bend everyone, step on everyone, and so on and so forth. And here I have to invert myself. To change my nature, it means to change myself to the very opposite. I have to relate to others the way I relate to myself. The way I love myself, this is how I have to love others. Love another as thyself. If I change my attitude towards others, I start feeling the next world. By changing my nature, I start feeling the rules of the next world, qualities, conditions, fulfillments of the next world. Is it a game that I can play on my own? Very hard. Because you don't know whether you're playing it or not, but only in relation to others. When you start changing and placing yourself in different states towards others, then you discover whether you're changing or not. You, by yourself, on your own, you don't have the ability to examine your attitude. You have no one towards whom to examine your attitude. Is it preferable to have several players? Yes, but not too many, so it won't disperse a person's concentration and confuse them. So the first condition we have to keep after we meet our basic needs, I have to start changing my attitude towards those people that I play with them. Yes, suppose now we're sitting around this table and we decide to play this game. Well, 3 isn't enough. Better 10. Okay, minimum 10. That's the condition. Suppose 10 people, and suppose we have 10 people here. So the first thing that I have to do in order to start playing this game is what? In that box that you have received, you have instructions. So that's what I'm asking about the instructions. What does it say in the instructions? It says that you have to try and see all those people that are playing that game with you, that they're good, nice, beautiful, close, that all of us, not only you, but everyone, including everyone, all those participating around the table, this entire 10, we all want to see everyone close to us, really close, as brothers. And to get even closer, so that we'll connect. So that, first of all, we'll see that we're equal. And everyone tries to come out of himself, above his ego, above his nature, and to connect with others in heart and soul. For us to depict for ourselves the center of the circle that we're sitting in, and that in that center, we're together. And we melt together to such an extent that we become one drop. We dissolve such that there's no difference between us, so much that I lose myself. Is it me thinking or others thinking? So much. We have to work at it. I imagine it, you imagine it, and you try for it to be that way so much that you lose yourself. This way, you stop feeling yourself, but you feel everyone. And after we reach that, we try to discover in our connection one force, one thought, one desire. And there we start feeling the new world. That's called, you shall see your world in your lifetime. What is that new desire? It's a desire of love, of bestowal, that doesn't exist in our world. But on the way, we discover different disturbances between us. Suddenly I see that I don't love others, I disregard them, they're not important to me, and so on. And this way, we advance and advance, but it's all a game. And there are also rules. It's a very interesting game. It's the game of life. That we play all life long. And we really discover a new role. That each one of us wants to act out bestowal and love. Meaning each one of us acts out, portrays the upper force. We start feeling that a certain force, a certain spirit clothes in us, and that's the Creator. It's the force that created everything and built everything and sustains everything. We start feeling how much He clothes in us. You see, here there is this special addition to this game where, in a game, every time I wanted to clothe myself in some new form. And here I start feeling that he is clothing in me and that I am his clothing. That's the difference. But we'll see that later. It's really interesting. But really, there is a great adventure here and for your entire life. What exactly is the adventure? I'm changing all the time. I play with others. We conclude that from this day and on, we're playing a game. That I and everyone else, we want to be in this game. We don't let it go. It's a game that we're obligated to 24/7. Everyone towards everyone else, that we're playing this game. And I don't mind if I'm going to work or I do something at home. The main thing is that we're living it all the time, and we gather every day to learn the conditions of the game and to realize it as much as we can and to advance from stage to stage. And this is how we reach a state where we feel that we're building our new life until we reach a state where we get the big prize. What is the prize? That I start seeing myself with all the friends that were one desire, and in that one desire we discover the new world. Our existence above life and above death, there is no life and death. There is a limitless life. Because we came out above our ego and we no longer measure life within it, but only in bestowal, love, limitless expansion. This is how we helped each other. And first of all, our entire life to play the greatest game and to achieve the greatest prize. Where else do you have such a game where the prize that you get is eternal life? What do you mean by eternal life? The players will never die? Bodily, yes, but for them it's not a problem, because before they die bodily-wise, they feel that their self keeps on living with the others. It lives together with others, even after they die. Of course, and they don't feel that they die. The body that dies, they don't feel that they part with life. Not at all. It's like when I chop off my fingernails or cut off my hair. I part with something which is marginal. This was really interesting. So are you playing the game or not? Look, we're all for it. You have to ask your wife. Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thanks for being with us. We invite everyone to play the game of life. You shall see your world in your lifetime. All the best.